Well, I'm happy to be here today for us to worship together, even though we are here occasionally to be a part of the worship service. I wasn't expecting to see Pastor Bernie's service this morning, so I saw him and I was like, what are you doing here? Because I had thought that you were going to be out of town, but it's a blessing to have you here with us. My name is Stephen Wombenyaka, and my wife is Florence. We have been in Des Moines for around 13 years, and we thank God for all that he's done through our lives and the great people he's brought us in connection with, especially Ashworth Church. We are truly blessed to be here. We were here when it used to be called Ashworth Baptist Church, and we are Ashworth Church now. So Florence and I are blessed with Levi, who's married to Rachel. I'm just going over the little bit of highlights for some of you who may not know us, you know, but I'm sure for a good portion of you, you know us. And our youngest son is testimony. That picture of testimony is not true. It's not. I needed to update that picture, and he wasn't too happy with me for keeping that picture up there. But he is a lot bigger than that. He's 14 years now, but I think the biggest 14 years old that I've seen so far. So 10 years ago, we started a live church here in Des Moines, and Pastor Brent, Pastor Ryan were kind of highly involved with our work, our project, Pastor Amy, and in fact, I would say, my mentoring process while attending the Faith Baptist Seminary was actually here at Ashworth. It was here that I learned a lot about the American culture, and I'm grateful to God for that. Alongside a live church, we started Surf Africa, and Surf Africa is our own approach to giving back to Liberia, where we are from originally. So when we got here, and God gave us the vision to start a church that will reach out to the African immigrant community, and in the process, God also laid on our burdens to also give back to the country that we came from. And South Africa was started. We've been existing roughly close to 10 years, and we have a board of directors, and Pastor Brent was, he served on our board. He was one of our first members of the board. And so South Africa is a faith-based nonprofit that is dedicated to advancing the gospel through providing holistic empowerment. And that is what we do. We are specifically working in Liberia right now. But you know, when resources are available, we intend to help other places. But for now, our commitment is to Liberia. Our vision is to empower lives, transform communities, and eternal hope. And our mission is to advance the gospel through meeting essential needs, equipping individuals, and strengthening communities to bring lasting transformation and eternal hope. Our primary target groups are orphans, widows, and village pastors. For now, we serve in Liberia, like I said, and we are working in two counties, Monserrado and Nema. Liberia, a little bit of demographic, Liberia has about 5.5, but I just kind of realized after this research that it was around 5.8 million people right now. Poverty still stands around 70%. Unemployment is at 65, and Liberia was affected by 14 years of civil war between 1989 to 2003. And in 2014, Liberia was hit by Ebola, the worst so far in the world. Historically, Liberia was founded in 1822 by free slaves from the U.S. So let me give you a little bit of impact when it comes to South Africa, some of what we've done, because this is, a live church has been involved with us. Let me say, Ashworth Church has been involved with us, both locally here in Des Moines and also in Liberia. So when it comes to some of what we've done, when it comes to missions in Liberia, between 2016 to now, we've built two orphanages that are catering for 40 kids. We have also established two schools that are currently providing education to 750 students. We have equipped at least 1,000 village pastors with training and study resources. And we have also worked with widows. We've empowered widows, at least about 100 of these women. We kind of come alongside them. Most of the widows we help with are women whose husbands were in active ministry, either as pastors or some church leadership. And we have led at least 15 mission trips to Liberia with at least 80 persons participating. And Pastor Brian has been a part of that along with Pastor Ryan. We have also shipped seven containers, the 44 serving containers. We shipped about 7 of those with at least 7,000 benefiting from the relief and a humanitarian aid in those containers. We have supported 25 new church plants. We work with village pastors in several villages and kind of empower them to start churches. We've constructed 10 water wells in 10 towns. So the Hope Center School, let me say a little bit about that. So Hope Center School, in 2017, this was our first mission trip after we had come to the U.S. So it was Pastor Ryan and Pastor Brent who went with us. And Pastor Brent is a kind of person that doesn't really tell you no. So when I met Pastor Brent up at Panera Bread, we went there for breakfast, and I said, I want you to come to Liberia. He said, yes, we can do it. You know? And I was like, okay, really? And surely we did it. So it was just within a year's time, we went to Liberia with him. And the next picture you see there is Pastor Brent breaking ground for the construction of the Hope Center School. And this was a vision of faith. This was a step of faith. And I actually had no details as to what God was about to do. But as of date, the school has grown. We have a library, we have a computer lab, we have the school is from K to 12, we have 2 graduations from 12th grade already, and so God is doing a lot of great things there to the school, and we are grateful to God for Ashworth's involvement with that project. Currently, South Africa is constructing a birthing center to provide care, compassionate health care and life-giving support to mothers and newborns that are in the villages where we are working right now. Our primary mandate as an institution is to partner with village pastors and local churches to serve the most vulnerable. And that includes orphans and widows. Let me pray for us. Father, thank you this morning for the opportunity that you granted us to be here. Lord, I pray that you will speak to our hearts. Let everything we have to say, God, be a blessing, provide encouragement, and God, strengthen us to keep serving you. Thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. So I'm going to be reading a verse from the book of James, actually James chapter 1. That's verse 27. This verse is actually in the context of what James is speaking about, listening and doing. Being able to listen well, but being able to do. I know usually we pray and we say, God, help us not to just listen, but also to be the doers. So I'm sure this is the context of that prayer that we usually offer. Verse 27 of James chapter 1 reads, religion that God our fathers accept as pure and faultless is this, to look after orphans and widows in their distress and to keep oneself from being polluted by the word. This text, like I said, falls within, you know, James telling people it's good to listen very well, but it's really good to be able to do what you have listened, what you have heard. And he is, after everything that he has shared with his people when it comes to how he expects them to practice those things that they have heard, he comes to talk about what that will mean in verse 27. What it will mean to practice these things, not just be a listener, what that would mean. So for our message today, what I consider as our theme or as our general conversation subject will be living our pure or true religion. The question I would like to ask is, have you ever thought what true religion is? In today's world, we hear a lot about different ideas when it comes to faith. Some people think that being a Christian or being a part of a denomination or a community of faith is basically going to church Sunday morning and connecting with people. But for others, they look at it as some obeying some type of rules. This is kind of really common, you know, in the community that I was raised up in Africa, where we have a lot of Pentecostal movements that are working very actively in Liberia. And when you hear me talk about pastor training, one of the things that we are working really hard to counter is prosperity gospel. So there are so many different versions of Christianity, and some people hold so much to rules. You got to obey the rules. You got to dress a certain way. You got to talk a certain way. So that is something that we are also concerned about, and I'm sure James is referring to that here. These things can be a part of our faith, but James, the brother of Jesus, he gives us something that I would say is very profound and simple. Just a very simple way to look at what being a Christian is or what following Jesus Christ is. Our text is like a clear mirror showing us what God sees as true religion. And this verse teaches us three truths that I would like to outline quickly for us. The first thing is that true religion is active compassion from what James says here. Caring for the vulnerable. James starts by telling us that religion that God, our Father, accepts as pure and faultless, this is what it means. He didn't say it is about having a very nice, beautiful worship service or a nice community or a nice platform where you can come and serve. He said, foremost, pure religion is to look after orphans and widows in their distress. Now, the word religion might be of interest to us today. It refers to the outward manner in which we express our worship and our devotion. The way we express our faith to God, that is religion. James clarifies that God is not looking for any kind of outward show. He wants something that is true, something that is pure, something that is faultless. And I would say something that is natural, something that is just you, something that is not being made up to kind of impress somebody. Something of that type is acceptable to him. Now, what does that look like? It looks like this: to look after orphans and widows in their distress. Now, in ancient times, orphans and widows were the most helpless and vulnerable people. There was no government safety net at the time. I don't think there was social security in Israel at this time. I don't think there was any welfare system like we have today. So think about it. Orphans and widows were truly in what James called their distress. The term distress here means to be in deep trouble or affliction. To look after, like James said, means more than just feeling sorry for somebody. It means to actively show concern and compassion and to be practical by taking some actions in that. God is described in the Bible as a protector of the vulnerable. Deuteronomy chapter 10, verse 18 says that God defends the cause of the fatherless and the widows. And Psalm 68, verse 5 calls him a father to the fatherless, a defender of widows. So when we care for helpless people, especially widows and orphans, we are acting like God. We are reflecting God's character and we are reflecting God's heart. Though it is obvious that in a developed society with so many government-sponsored programs to help the needy, orphans and widows might not be as challenged as they are or they were in biblical times. However, in developing nations like the one where we are working in Liberia, where extreme poverty exists, to be an orphan or a widow indicates that a person is living at an advanced level of poverty. Not just poverty, but at an advanced level of poverty. United Nations will usually use extreme to kind of indicate how that is different from what exists in developing or in developed nations. Now, this is the main reason why we do what we do at South Africa and why Ashford Church partners with us in what we are doing in Liberia and even here in the U.S. So pure religion begins with open eyes and open hands that are ready to serve. Now, the second thing that I would like to share is that true religion or pure religion is personal purity. It has to do with your personal life, the physical component of being a follower of Jesus Christ is there, but there is also something that has to do with our personal life that matters to God in what James says here. James doesn't stop at caring for orphans and widows. He adds a second part to his definition of pure religion when he said, and to keep oneself from being polluted by the world. The word polluted means to be stained, to be blemished or defiled. It describes a life that has been marked by the corrupting influences of the world rather than the transforming power of God. And that expression, word, W-O-R-D, as we see here, doesn't mean the physical planet. Instead, it refers to a corrupt system of human society that separates God from this hostile word or system where we find ourselves. So this part of the verse is about guarding our hearts and our lives as followers of Jesus Christ. It is about actively resisting the harmful influences and temptations that come from living in a world that rejects God all of the time. And this includes the materialism, greed, selfishness, pride, and the list goes on. Now think about this. Imagine you are wearing a very clean shirt and you find yourself working in an environment. Maybe you are somebody who repair car and you deal with a lot of dirty car parts. Now you can't expect to stay clean, that white, beautiful shirt to stay clean when you come into your garage. It's gonna get dirty. But If you don't want it to get dirty, then you have to avoid that type of environment that gets it dirty, the activities that get it dirty. In the same way, I would say we find ourselves in a setting, in a system that is just messed up, that is just moldy, that is just stained, full of temptations and all sort of different ideas that are completely counterproductive to what we hold to as believers. So if we are not careful, those things that are not good will end up staining or putting blemishes on the white garment of faith that we wear, on our character, on our faith, on our beliefs. So the question is, how do we practically keep ourselves from being polluted, like James said? How do we do that? Now, I would suggest guarding our thoughts. Could be one option that we can implement. What do we think about? Why it is that dominates our minds most of the time, especially when we walk out of the worship service on Sunday morning. Paul says something in Philippians chapter 4, verse 8. He said, brothers and sisters, whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is honorable, if anything is excellent or praiseworthy, think about these things. Think about these things. I don't know what you think about, but it's important, as believers, that we try so hard not to have our minds polluted, not to have our lives polluted, because Christ wants us to live for him on a daily basis. The last thing I would like to share here is that true religion is both of what I've already shared. Compassion and purity must go hand in hand. It's important to observe that James uses the conjunction and. He says to look after orphans and widows and to keep oneself from being polluted by the word. That word "and" plays a very key part here. It means that James is not just asking us to do one of the two things. He wants us to do both. He doesn't say either. He doesn't say at all. He means both are absolutely essential for being the type of person Jesus Christ wants us to be. You can't have one without the other and claim to have genuine faith. You can't be so compassionate, but at the same time, your mind is just so corrupted. If you are only doing good and helping others, but your own heart is full of selfishness, pride, or I would say unconfessed sin, then your good work might only be a show, not from a heart that is pure. If you are only focused on keeping yourself pure and avoiding the word, but you ignore the need, the needed and the afflicted, then your purity might become self-righteous. Then you are just trying to put up a show so people can see or think or view you as a righteous guy. You might become the Pharisee who prided himself on his holiness, but missed the heart of God's compassion in Luke chapter 18. We all know, you know, birds. Birds usually have to fly if they are to both wings are working. One wing is active compassion, that's how I would call it, and the other wing is helping other people. The other wing is personal purity, keeping ourselves unstained. If a bird only has one wing, now the bird is incapacitated. It won't do anything. It won't fly. In the same way, our faith needs to have two wings. When one wing carries compassion, and the other wing must be willing to live right. What does it mean? It means that we need to regularly check both areas of our lives and always ask, am I actively seeking out opportunities to serve and help other people, especially those who are vulnerable? Am I guiding my heart and my mind? Am I being careful about what I consume, what I take in, what I listen to, what I watch? You see, we have to pray. These things that I'm sharing, these are not things that I think anybody can get on one morning and say, well, I'm super spiritual. I'm so great, you know? I mean, I have been around a couple of Pentecostal friends before, and I know that sometimes you speak to a Pentecostal person, they say, I'm blessed. You know, but does it really mean that they are blessed? Does it just mean that, you know, how you doing today, brother? Everything is perfect. But does it mean everything is perfect? Not really. Sometimes, you know, what people are trying to do is to put up a show, make it appear that everything is okay, because they don't want you to see them as not being, you know, having that spirituality that they are professing. But that's not what God wants. God wants us to be natural, to be who we are, to just be who we are without acting that we are living in heaven, we are living here on earth. And we will have our own challenges, we'll have our difficulties. So this is when the power, the presence of the Holy Spirit becomes something that we have to go after. The Holy Spirit will help us in the process, because not everybody is generous. Not everybody is always compassionate. Sometimes it's more about us than the next person. It's more about us than the other person, the other country that is going through challenges. But for us to be able to develop the mind to live like James wants us to live, it will require the empowerment of the Holy Spirit, because we cannot do any of these things on our own. The good news is that Jesus is our best example. Our Lord Jesus perfectly embodied active compassion, and he lived a pure life. He consistently sought out the marginalized and the broken. He embraced children, even when his disciples wanted to push them away. His entire life was a testament to serving the vulnerable, and he calls us now to do the same. In Matthew chapter 25, Jesus tells the parable of the sheep and the goats. He concluded with this very powerful statement in verse 40 of Matthew chapter 25. He said, "Truly I tell you, whatever you did for one of the least of these brothers and sisters of mine, you did for me." Now, who are the least of these? Is that a question you've tried to answer, you asked before? Surely, from my perspective, as I go, as I went through this passage, and I kept asking the Holy Spirit, show me things that I don't know. I realized that the orphans, with no voice, with no power, with no protection, fits so well in this description. You see, when we extend a hand to the afflicted and the vulnerable, in a very real sense, we are extending a hand to Christ himself. As you said here today, you may be asking, so what does this message want me to do? What is in this message that I should do? Now, when I usually present, I tell people, God will always speak to you. There is always something God wants you to do when his message comes forward. Now, our partnership with Ashworth has been a blessing for so many years. And this year, Pastor Brenda is going to be preaching at our church, our 10th anniversary. And there's a lot that God has done here for us in Des Moines when it comes to reaching this community. And there is a lot that God is also doing in Liberia. If God should be asking you as to what it is that I can do when it comes to the two things that I mentioned in this passage, I would say if God is leading you to pray for some of what I've talked about, you can become a prayer partner. You can go on a mission trip if God ever speaks to you. I know Ashworth is involved with missions in India right now. But if God speaks to you to say, I want to go and see Liberia, you can join us and go to Liberia. I go to Liberia at least one time a year, but sometimes four times a year. You could support an offering. We are serving 40 of them right now. And when there is opportunity to provide more, to have more homes, we will serve more than that number. You could support a village pastor. One of the things that we are doing right now is to buy dirt bikes for them. These men walk without bike 10 miles, 15 miles to go to start churches, to preach in places where cars cannot go. And if the Holy Spirit leads you to partner with us in any of this area, that will be a blessing. Before I leave, there is a video from our work. This video was produced like a year ago. So just in case it sounds like it's old, it is because it was produced a year ago. One of the young kids that we took home several years, and then we empowered, we sent him to school. He went to this school that I just talked about. And right now he goes to a Bible college in Liberia and is doing Christian education to come back and work with the school. His name is Emmanuel, and that is the video about him. God bless you.
Hello, my name is Kylie, and I want to read Emmanuel David's story. It is not an easy story to share, but it is also full of hope. I was born November 3rd, 2003, in Nimba County, Liberia. As the third of five siblings, my life took a tragic turn at the age of 7 when my father passed away. Left without support, my family struggled in the village with hunger and hardship. There was no school, and my mom found it very difficult to make ends meet. My siblings and I slept hungry for many days. We also had no good place to sleep. Life was hard and unbearable. 5 years later, when I was 12, my mother died after a car accident, leaving me and my brothers and my siblings feeling lost. Their lives transformed when Serve Africa intervened. Before the Hope Center was completed, they were placed with temporary family while Serve Africa ensured their needs were met. At the Hope Center, Manuel found security. consistent meals and the opportunity to attend school without financial burdens. For the first time, he could focus on his education and personal growth. In July 2004, Emmanuel graduated from Hope Center Christian School, later becoming an intern at the Iowa Partners Computer Program, where he taught younger students computer skills. In November, he received a scholarship to attend African Bible College University in Yakipa, studying Christian education. Emmanuel dreams of returning to the Hope Center to inspire future generations, embodying the messages of hope he received. Grateful for support from Serve Africa and its partners, he is committed to uplifting others and turning his painful journey into a beacon of hope for those still struggling.